Hi everyone, I'm Heather Johnson. I'm behind Outward Bound Communications, a content and brand development shop in Oakland, California. I help B2B life sciences, healthcare, and medtech companies get noticed by way of consistent brand messaging, strong stories, smart strategy.
I am Melanie Asher, founder and fractional chief marketing officer with Omicol. And Heather and I were talking the other day, and we kind of had a great conversation about content strategy, what companies do really well, what they need some help on. And I was like, let's have this conversation again. And this time we're going to record it and share it. This way you guys get to benefit too. Sound good? Alrighty. So the first question we're both going to start with, and I'll let you answer first, is what are the top three mistakes that you see companies make when they're putting together a content strategy?
Oh gosh, you know, it's funny. I came up with my top three the other day, and then this morning I came up with a couple more.
That's usually how it works.
Yeah. But I will say,
what are your top three of the moment? How does that sound?
Top three of the moment. I would say one of the ones I see a lot is just not setting clear, specific, SMART goals, which is a specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time bound. So I would say, before even doing any content or even any planning, just thinking about what you intend to achieve by doing this. And that's one, because the process of just throwing out content at will probably won't get you the results you want.
Not usually.
Another thing I've seen is just the making it all about you and not about your customers. Yes. So it's kind of the gist of content marketing is about giving your customers something, and as opposed to, you may not want to talk about yourself as much. It's more about solving their problems. But I'm going to skip one of my top of the moment that I came up with the other day and get into one of the ones that came to me this morning, was not giving it time.
Yes.
I think of content as a long game, like PR. So, you might get some quick wins within 30, 60, 90 days, more website traffic or something else. But to really get the tangible results, which, the leads and ideally customers, clients down the road, it will take some time. So I've seen companies abandon their whole content marketing program after a year because it just, for whatever reason, it wasn't working. But, it's a long game.
It is. So the way that I describe those three, because I completely agree with you, those are probably my top three as well. I call them RAPs, random acts of posting. And then what was the second one that you said?
The me.
Oh yeah. They take the, I'm sure you've heard the acronym WIIFM, what's in it for me, and they make it about themselves instead of their audience. And then for the third one, I describe it as a crockpot analogy. You have this amazing crockpot. You put these wonderful ingredients in, but you still don't have any. And then you got to turn the crockpot on. And guess what? You still don't have anything. You have to wait the 4, 6, 8, or however many hours it is until you get this amazing dinner. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot how online marketing works, whether you're doing Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, any social media platform. I call it feeding the algorithm gods. The more you feed the algorithm gods what they want, not what they don't want, the more you get rewarded. It's, organic. And that's, you know, that helps them wrap their head around the, oh, you mean I can't just share a cute cat photo and then all of a sudden generate $1 million in business? Well, I'm sure somebody has.
Yeah, but unlikely. Yes. Yeah. The, I suppose you'd say the microwave method doesn't,
yeah,
doesn't end up as good.
Microwave only works for so long and with some things, just like with a regular microwave, you can ruin some really amazing food in there. So, I know we each work in different industries and we also have different approaches to developing content. I approach it more from an overall CMO perspective. It's a part of the overall company strategy perspective. It's a segment of what I do, but you actually specialize in this particular. So tell me about the industry that you, industry/industries, I know you have a predominant industry that you do work in, and walk us through kind of high level how you approach developing a content strategy.
Okay. Yeah. And you're right. It does vary somewhat between the industries and the type of company. Like a B2B company might do things a little bit differently than, say, a medical device company that's trying to win over physicians, mm-hmm. which, you know, that type of content is a bit different and the whole approach is a bit different. I mean, you're still, it's still about them, but the content is different. You know, you, a blog might not be the thing. It's more, you know, there's just different tactics and content types. But at a high level, I would say it all kind of follows a four-stage approach. First stage being research. I mean, sorry, goal setting. Define your goal.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? And what do you hope to achieve from doing this? And once you have your goal, which could be brand awareness, it could be generating leads, it could be both, then move into research. And that may be digging into your target audience. And it may also be digging into the content and the behaviors of your competitors. Mm-hmm. So with your audience, you may want to look at what do they want to know? And by looking at your competitors, you can kind of see what they're doing with content and where the gaps are and how you can fill them. Based on your research is when you go into the strategy and the planning, you figure out what successful content would look like, how you'll use it. And then after all of those things is when you get into the nitty gritty, the logistics and what content types and what channels and a calendar and topics and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I love how you start with the goals. That's always where I start with my clients as well. It doesn't matter what the industry is. It doesn't matter what the marketing tactic is. I start with what is our goal? What are we trying to achieve? And a lot of times we end up having to have the conversation. You can't have the goal being convert into sales for everything. Not everything is about converting into sales, especially when there is a sales process. There is a prospecting journey where a prospect needs to identify they have a problem, figure out solutions to solve their problem, and then they have to decide, oh, you are an interesting brand. You've solved, you've helped me understand, you've helped me see that you can solve my problem, whatever that problem is. And without that information, it becomes very hard to say that absolutely everything is about converting to leads. Yes, that's the long-term goal, but there are different phases along the way. And sometimes you need top of funnel, sometimes you need middle funnel, and sometimes you need bottom of funnel information. we're probably going to get my cat. She's running around here. And I don't know if you just heard her. She goes,
meow. Oh.
So yeah, what are, if you had to put the overall strategy, so we've identified our goals and we've identified that we do need to proceed with this. What would you say are your 3 to 5 steps that you would then walk a client through so they know what to expect?
Yeah, so they have their goals. I would say, you know, if they don't have a good handle on their target market, their target audience, their pain points, so to speak, you know, what they're worried about, what they're not sure about, if it's about your product in particular, what makes them hesitate?
Mm-hmm.
What do they like, don't like about some competing product? So I would say if they don't have a handle on that yet, get a handle on that first. And you could, I mean, technology is a good way to get some baseline information about this. You definitely talk to your sales reps. You know, there's this common trend. I don't know if this is across industries, but they talk about it a lot in biotech about this disconnect between sales and marketing.
Which it's across all industries.
Yeah, because you know the sales team has a gold mine of information.
And so does customer experience. Now I understand not every industry has customer experience defined the same way, but between customer experience, marketing, and sales is a true gold mine that you are able to capture voices and questions and feedback in a way that if you only think of outsourcing marketing to reduce costs, that it's actually going to come back and bite you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I like what you were talking about with the looking at the competitors. That's another thing that at least I've noticed with different industries is there's different writing styles that go over differently in different industries.
Right.
And if you stray from that too much, it can also hurt you. But yet if you follow it exactly, it makes it harder to tell you from your competition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's where bringing somebody like you in becomes really valuable, especially in biotech or the med space where you need somebody who can speak that language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. And, you know, it's, I guess, definitely an adjunct component of all this is the messaging, which is kind of foundational to all the content, and kind of figure out, like, how do you want to talk about yourself? You know, are you, because what might work for some SaaS company in a different industry may not work for a company that's in drug development.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of, like, say a lot of slang or this kind of thing, it, you know, might not work for a different industry, but it might work well for another one.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
In putting together a full content strategy, I've noticed some clients can get overwhelmed at the amount of time and effort and work that truly needs to go into it to make it effective. And as a result of that, I try to simplify it, whether it's in how I explain it or in the process of putting them through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything like that? So for example, what I have them do is we talk about different monthly themes that correlate to different aspects of their business and how the themes build off of each other. We talk about whether holidays are relevant, because there's nothing worse than a company who is promoting some holiday that is completely irrelevant to their business, to their industry, for no reason whatsoever. It just screams amateur. and you don't want to do it. Now, if it's relevant, then by all means, run with it and build an entire campaign around it. But if it's not relevant, don't waste the time, effort, or energy that goes with it. So
yep.
Is there anything along those lines that you do with your clients?
Yeah, actually I do something fairly similar, and where, you know, there's monthly themes, or I call them content pillars.
Mm-hmm.
So you have those themes, whether they change, you know, monthly, bi-monthly, but you might have two or three of these themes, and they're kind of your core topics that mm-hmm. reflect what your customer needs, what your position to address, and then all of the content falls under these pillars. So I feel like that helps make things a little bit less overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And also for the overwhelm, I would say if there's a company just starting with content from scratch, you know, you don't have to do all the things at once. You know, just start with one thing and build that thing and monitor, measure, see what's working, what's not working, and then go from there.
And with the monitor and measure, going back to our crockpot conversation earlier, just because something doesn't appear to work right away, you got to feed the algorithm gods before they reward you.
Mm-hmm.
They're sure. not going to reward you just because you've done something. They're going to say, okay, good job. Thank you. Now show me you can be consistent.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Show me you can be consistent. And maybe you see like, oh, this longer piece on this topic, you know, did pretty well, but then this shorter piece on this other topic, nobody hardly read it.
Yes.
So it gives you an idea of what you can focus on next.
Yep.
And work from there. I worked with a healthcare company a few years ago, and they were a smaller startup, but growing, and they were just getting into content marketing. And the head of marketing says, you know, they had $3,000 a month. That's our budget. And we put together a plan that worked for their budget. And it was mainly they wanted to start with a blog. Mm-hmm. And it evolved over time, over the course of the year. In the beginning, we did a mix of shorter pieces and longer pieces, mm-hmm. and different types, different topics. And the head of marketing was checking all the metrics, and she's like, oh, well, it looks like these shorter ones are doing better, and these kind of topics are doing better. So we focused on that. And then we were able to do a little bit more content, like more frequently, but shorter. And then eventually it got to the point where they didn't need me anymore. Their content was doing well enough that they hired someone full time.
Yeah. And that's oftentimes what happens, is the content strategy is heavy labor up front to figure out what works, what doesn't work, why does it work, and what about this platform versus that platform, and how is that different? And then in time, you get to know your own brand, your own content, your own audience, and what they engage with so well that it, like you said, they can either move it in-house or they can build some automation to make it take significantly less time to maintain it.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And I found it, I also find it interesting, like you just said, for them, that client, the shorter content did better.
Yeah.
I have a new client I'm working with, and we just kind of did the initial audit, and has long form, has short form, and they were heavily pushing the short form because that's what their specialist had recommended. Oh, short form, short form, short form. I'm like, let me look. So looking at the analytics, looking at the engagement, and there was next to no engagement on the short form content and zero conversion from short form to long form, zero conversion from short form to the company.
Interesting.
Yes.
Huh.
And now some of their longer form ranged, this is predominantly video, ranged anywhere from 20 minutes to not quite an hour and a half, but longer. And there were some trends in that. So we were able to start targeting better because we looked at the trends, and we're right now in the middle of creating the next season of content based on this data. And in talking to their specialists, it's like, okay, I know you're pushing short form. I know why you're pushing short form. I get it. With this client, it's not the best fit. Let's pivot a little bit, make a few changes. Here's how you can use short form to help us promote the long form.
Uh-huh.
And he was just like blown away that it was, why is short form not working? It's like, it's not an end all be all.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I tell companies all the time, anytime you read a best practice when it comes to online marketing, is it guaranteed A, it's out of date, and B, it's most likely not going to be relevant to you. Because mm-hmm. even if you type in best time to post on whatever platform you're on, here's my question for you. What time zone are you talking?
Yes. Yeah.
At least my clients have clients all across the country, sometimes all across the world.
Mm-hmm.
Time is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
From a general.
You ask, you'll get like a million different answers. Oh, the best exactly. time is 2 p.m. on Sunday or 8 a.m. on Thursday. I'm like, wouldn't worry about it.
Exactly. Now, as you are consistent with pushing content out there, you're going to learn what local time your audience engages with your content. Those times are relevant. But some random generic expert article about what day or time to post, try it, great, but don't have, it's not etched in stone, because for every best practice that I've come across, I can disprove it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's not relevant to this particular client or this industry or to accomplish this goal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because, yeah, in the case of that client, you know, what worked for them, at least in the beginning, it was different than what the experts recommend, which are these, you know, were longer form.
Mm-hmm.
pieces. So
yeah,
figure.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, is the algorithms and consumer behavior changes over time. So just because it works now doesn't mean you can set it and forget it and never touch it again, because you're going to have to revisit it and make sure that it is still relevant based on changes, based on consumer behaviors, or I don't know, economic situations that maybe change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. Like what I'm hearing a lot now in our generative AI era is that, you know, these shorter high level pieces aren't doing so well because there's so much of it.
Yeah.
That what people are looking for now are true, you know, thoughts, like, you know, true expert opinions and real original research, whether that be from your own, you know, market research. Here, we did this study and here's what we found. Or, you know, it's quotes and information from your subject matter experts or something that is kind of more in-depth and more thoughtful. And as opposed to the quick skim.
Yeah, and people are starting to ask questions. Okay, you did your own research, but did you ask that LinkedIn question only on LinkedIn? Because that might give you a biased response.
True.
You know, did you interview people off, you know, in real life? Did you ask people who are on Facebook or X or any other platform, because you're going to get different perspectives and different answers based on where and how you ask the question. What's a question that you always end up having to answer at some point in the process?
Think about this. I would imagine there's a lot of questions about, you know, what's going to work best.
Yes.
Kind of like we've been talking about, mm-hmm. you know, is this going to work? That going to work? You know, and you've kind of got to see. I mean, you can do your research and, you know, you can probably get some information on what your, I know there's tech out there that can assess, you know, what your customers are reading most or consuming most. I don't like that word, but, and you can build off of there, but, yeah, you kind of have to experiment, I would imagine, a little bit to get on your...
And even when you have content, I tell my clients right off the bat, we mentioned pillars and we mentioned themes earlier. You use pillars. I have tiers, if you will. So I have monthly themes and then I have content pillars.
Mm-hmm.
This way, within the pillars, there's some educational content, there's some informative content, there's some that's intended to convert for sales, and there's also fun content. Because if everything's always serious, then it's just like, ugh, I'm bored.
Mm-hmm.
There's a balance, and there's different percentages depending on the industry and the company. And then I always explain it to my clients as we want to build a library of what I call timeless content.
Mm-hmm.
This is often known as evergreen content, but I call it timeless because I like the alliteration of timeless versus timely. Timeless mm-hmm. is content that is relevant today, tomorrow, and with minimal updating, just as relevant in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Timely content, I used to say, is relevant today, tomorrow, and if you're lucky, in 6 months. With the way things are right now, I would say 6 weeks.
Yes.
Depending on your Maybe. Industry, depending on what timely means in your business, I would say no more than 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And the timeless aspect of it allows you to create that foundational element of content that you can always pull from, whether it be for prospects or sales or clients. This way they have access to the resources that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And the timely content allows you to engage based on current events. It shows that you're still relevant in today's era.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, and the timeless content is easy enough to update, refresh yes. over time, so it stays timeless.
Yes, exactly. You know, whatever project management tool they have, you know, I'll create a section for them that has a link to whatever their blog articles are, whatever they want to call them. Some call them articles, some call them blog posts. Some have other custom industry names for them. And it's set an auto reminder that every 6 months, go in and update the article with a heavy emphasis on updating the top 20% of the article. Because then it's going to tell the algorithms that your content is fresh, it's new, and it's still relevant today. And then you're going to continue ranking and you're going to still continue to be relevant in the eyes of the algorithms. So how do you work with your clients on updating content? Or are you mainly brought in from the perspective of creating the initial the initial library and helping them develop that initial strategy?
Yeah, I'm mainly brought in for creating the initial strategy and developing the content from scratch.
And that is definitely the hardest part of it. The updating, the maintenance of it, that's easy in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
yeah, you definitely have the hardest part of it.
Yeah. There hasn't been too many with refresh. Every now and then, you know, I'll do a bit of refresh
mm-hmm.
work. And unfortunately, every now and then some fires to put out, some some cleanup work where, oh my gosh, we did XYZ project and we did it in-house, or we did it this way and it's all wrong, and here, just fix it.
Yep. I'm regularly brought in for that one. Everything's wrong, nothing works, and we don't know what to do. Here.
Yeah. Fix it.
Okay, so we're coming up on time. What is one tip, one takeaway, or one action item that you would love people to have or be able to do as a result of sticking around for the entire session?
I would say this isn't the most exciting top takeaway, but it's, I imagine, important, is focus on your customers and remember to give them something that they'll be interested in, that they'll remember. It's harder than it sounds, just because people are so bombarded with information. But if you can give them your wisdom, if you can give them a unique perspective, if you can give them new evidence, or even a contrarian opinion, and do it consistently,
yep,
you'll do fine.
How can people find you?
You can find me. My website is ridiculously hard to pronounce. It's outwardbound.com. So it's word, like the written word, comm.com.
Okay.
Find me on LinkedIn under my name.
Awesome. So I will make sure those links are in the description. That way people just have to click on it. And name is Heather Johnson with the company Outward Bound. Is it communications?
Yes.
Okay. Outward Bound Communications, website outwardbound.com.
Yes. Not the adventure company Outward Bound. Unfortunately, it sounds like a lot of fun though.
It does. Then we could introduce kangaroos and other really cool things. That would
Do the zip line thing, or I don't know, but no, I'm word, like the written word.
That's okay. I would rather you generate results for clients than we have fun with the alliteration of the potential of what directions we could go with your name.
Yeah. Yes. And thank you for hosting this.